The House Committee on Capital Investment will come to order. Legislative Assistant will note the roll. A quorum is present. Now, one technical change to the minutes. Would you please add the name of Alice Hausman? And with that technical change, may like Representative Gunther to move.
I certainly approve the minutes, Mr. Chairman.
Of January 11th.
That's correct.
Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are passed. At this point, just say that, you know, normally we're not going to be doing 9:30 Monday meetings. But we have a little bit of a time crunch on the item that's coming up before you today, and that's why we're having basically a meeting in a time that we are not accustomed to. So with that, and with the assurance that it's not going to happen very often, I can't say it'll never happen again because it could. We will continue. The chair would now like to bring House File 14 before the committee. Welcome to your committee, Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Would you make a motion to bring House File 14 before the committee?
I do so move.
Representative Miller moves House File 14 to be referred.
To refer to Ways and Means, Mr. Chair.
To the Committee on Ways and Means. Thank you. Representative Miller, would you explain the bill, please?
I will, Mr. Chair, and thank you. And I have Deputy Chair Matt Wallman, who's going to be joining me. Oh, he's coming down the aisle right now, so we'll get going. I first want to thank all of the committee members and you, Mr. Chair, for your willingness to come in this morning. I will explain why we are moving this along in an expedited fashion. But what the bill is before you is a request for $35 million in bonding, which will be user-financed, meaning that the people who use this money will be paying the bonding bill off, which, by the way, also allows for this to be passed on a simple majority, not your typical 60% for bonding. If you don't hear that this morning, you will please understand that. The Deputy Commissioner is going to tell you what it is, and I'm going to briefly tell you why it is that we are here this morning. So in a typical fashion, the RFA program has been here since 1986, and it's been a very good program in agriculture to stay the farm economy. This came out of the farm crisis of the 80s. And typically this funding is put into our larger bonding bills. It's not every single bonding bill. It's when the funds get used up, they request more funding, which last year was that time that they did request it. It was in the bonding bill last year. As we all know, the bonding bill did not go through. So we're in a situation this year where typically it would be bonding typically comes through towards the end of session. However, these are funds that the department has come and requested. So I agreed even before session began to make this a top priority. I've worked very hard with not only people on this committee, but with leadership and with the department, and we like where this is going. Mr. Chair, I do have a technical amendment I would like to. Would this be a good time to do that? I'd like to be able to put that on at this time.
Yes, Representative Miller.
Okay, so my amendment, typically in a bonding bill, there are expenses to the sale of bonding, our bonds, and in an omnibus bonding bill, that's put in as a line item towards the end of the bonding bill itself. Since this is a standalone, we still have to account for that expense. The expense is approximately $1,000 per million dollars, so it's a $35,000 add-on. So the H14A1 amendment, I ask that the committee support me in adding that on to this bill at this time for $35,000.
Okay. Representative Miller has moved his amendment. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The amendment passes and it's part of the bill. Representative Hausman.
Mr. Chair, I wonder if we could get clarification from Ms. Dyson. He suggested that this would just require a simple majority. Is that? I always thought that's why we put it in the bonding bill.
Yes, Representative Hausman, our understanding is it's a simple majority. Ms. Dyson?
Over here.
Over there.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hausman, it is a simple majority. This the RFA is funded under a different paragraph of the Constitution. Most of the three-fifths vote of both bodies is under Minnesota Constitution Article 11, Section 5, Paragraph A, to acquire and better public lands and improvements. The RFA is through the paragraph H, and so the three-fifths vote doesn't apply to that paragraph.
Any further discussion on that? I think what we will do, since we have started down the amendment road, is to do the other the two amendments that we have as well. Representative Hansen, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you have amendment labeled A2.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would move the A2 amendment. And as I'm doing that, I would note that the Chair had talked about the extraordinary circumstances of scheduling this meeting on a Monday morning at 9:30, and that required that amendments be in, I think, by 9:30 on Friday. And I think the committee was scheduled on Thursday afternoon after we were in session. Is that correct, Mr. Chair?
I believe so.
Okay. So there wasn't much time for preparing this, but I think it's important. The author of the bill mentioned that the grounding legislation for this was established in 1986. So we're 30-plus years past that, and agriculture has changed. And with agriculture changing, I think there's an opportunity to recognize changes that this legislature has made on a bipartisan basis for different types of agriculture. And my A2 amendment is to clarify that industrial hemp or medical cannabis serve as agricultural products that could be eligible for the loans. That doesn't mean they have to be given, but it means that they can apply. So without that explicit authority, we're still operating on the 30-year-old law, and 30-year-old law is good, but sometimes it needs to be brought up current. And I think there are farmers who are interested in these crops who may need the loan capacity but aren't able to achieve it, just like everybody else who recognizes these loans. So I would ask for your support, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Further discussion? Representative Miller.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, I can appreciate the conversation. I think it's a good conversation to have. I think you make some good points. However, I don't believe that this is the right time or the right place. That's a discussion that I believe we should have in one of the agricultural committees, really preferably ag policy, which is what you're addressing here. So I think there's a time and discussion that we can have that in the future in one of these committees. We have worked hard to move this forward, and one of the reasons why we've been able to move this forward in an expedited way, Mr. Chair, is because we have agreed that this is kind of a clean, straight. There's been other people that have wanted to add other things in bonding on this, and we say, no, this is an issue that the Department of Agriculture has. This is an issue that the farmers have that we want to address as is. If Representative Hansen, if you'd like to talk about that in the future, I'd be more than welcome to have those conversations. But at this time, I don't think this is the right committee, Mr. Chair, and I do not support them.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would ask for a roll call vote.
Any further discussion? Representative Lewick?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really agree with Representative Miller's assessment here. I think it's appropriate that we make ag policy an ag policy committee, and this is it pokes to kind of bundle on additional things here and just muddies the water and complicates something that really needs to be done. But again, I certainly can't support this amendment because we've got two committees, Ag Policy and Ag Finance, that really need to scrub this kind of thing. So I would hope that everybody looks at that and considers that we don't make that kind of policy here in the Capital Investment Committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lurick. Representative Gunther.
Thank you. It's hard for me to disagree with Hansen, but I'm going to have to do that. I think marijuana, to grow that, costs a lot of money, a lot more than the RFA probably has to lend them. And at the same time, industrial hemp, in honor of Phyllis, I'm 100% behind that. There's 921 uses for it. But I think that deserves a full discussion. It's already passed. I totally agree with it. It is a third crop, so to speak, in our area. And I would appreciate you either withdrawing it or not asking for a roll call on it, because I'm not against it. But I have to vote against it.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Gunther, I think even if we disagree, we'll still be friends after the vote. So I think it's important. I'm not on the Ag Policy Committee. And so as members and all of us who have election certificates, the opportunity is in the committee or on the floor or both. And it is what we bond for. So I think you'll find many members who probably had projects that are bonding that would be germane to this bill, but showed restraint in not adding additional projects because they know that this is important. It's an important financing tool for Minnesotans. So what I'm trying to do is clarify to allow that opportunity for other producers that may not be explicit now and that they have, this would give them that opportunity, not an outcome. And I think it is appropriate if we're here on capital investment to give them that bonding authority. And so it is important. We have voted the merits of this. We've discussed the merits of it in previous legislatures. And here's an opportunity. If this is being fast-tracked, if this is a likelihood of becoming law, this would be the opportunity. And I think it probably does have a good likelihood of becoming law.
Okay, thank you. I'll just add that should this not prevail today, there likely will be another bonding bill next year, and there would be time to go through the Ag Committee and vet this prior to the next RFA proposal. Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will take the roll, but you're not the clerk. Call the roll.
Chairman Erdahl?
No.
Representative Ugham?
No.
Representative Bennett? Representative Carlson?
Yes.
Representative Constein? Representative Dean? Representative Detmer?
No.
Representative Ekman?
Yes.
Representative Frankie?
No.
Representative Grossel?
No.
Representative Gunther?
No.
Representative Hausman?
Yes.
Representative Hansen?
Yes.
Representative Juergens?
No.
Representative Lilly?
Yes.
Representative Lewick?
No.
Representative Miller?
No.
Representative Pearson?
No.
Representative Coffey?
No.
Representative Poston?
No.
Representative Rumbeck?
No.
Representative Scott?
Yes.
Representative Poppy?
No.
No.
There being 13 no's and 6 ayes, the amendment fails. Representative Hansen, would you like to move amendment labeled A3 for House File 14?
Oh, yes, Mr. Chair, I would like to move the A3 amendment. I think it may be similar in the discussion. This one is for apiaries to have it clear that the Rural Finance Authority would be available as an opportunity for beekeepers, wherever they may be. So I would move the A3 amendment.
Representative Hansen moves the A3 amendment. Discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hansen, yeah, I think this is a good discussion to have at its appropriate time, but I don't support the amendment at this time.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hansen.
So I would ask for a roll call.
Roll call has been asked for. Any further discussion? Seeing none, will you call the roll, please?
Chairman Erdahl.
No.
Representative Uglum.
No.
Representative Bennett. Representative Carlson.
Yes.
Representative Considine. Representative Dean. Representative Detmer.
No.
Representative Eklund.
Yes.
Representative Frankie.
No.
Representative Grossel.
No.
Representative Gunther.
No.
Representative Hausman.
Yes.
Representative Hansen.
Yes.
Representative Juergens.
No.
Representative Lilly.
Yeah.
Representative Lewick.
No.
Representative Miller.
No.
Representative Pearson.
No.
Representative Poppy.
No.
Representative Poston.
No.
Representative Rundeck.
No.
Representative Stock.
Yes.
There being 13 no's and 6 ayes, the amendment fails. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is I support the bill. I intend to vote for this. Here is my anxiety. One department has come to us and made a legitimate argument about the need to fast-track theirs. Here is what I read in the newspaper. This must be the Daily Globe, Worthington. About Lewis and Clark, which was also in that bill. Everyone in St. Paul agrees the Lewis and Clark regional water system needs to come to Worthington, but that isn't the problem. Robinson said, while both houses and the governor's office are all in agreement that funding for the Lewis and Clark connection to Worthington is in their bill, the bonding bill is one of the last things that will be done in the legislative session in late May. It's where all the bargaining chips are held. It's the last piece of negotiation. It just shouldn't happen that way. Every single project will make that same argument. Here is my concern. They go on. Robinson, Hamilton, and Weber don't want to wait that long to get construction started. That's why they're working on standalone legislation to free up approximately $8 million in surplus funds from the money used on Phase 2. The extra money is locked up with a restriction that it can only be used for Phase 2. If it stays in the bonding bill and it passes, it would be late May, and we would lose much, if not all, of the 2017 construction season. They've made a powerful argument. I agree with it. But the problem is, it could be said about every other project in the bonding bill. We didn't pass it last year. We worked in the summer for the potential of a special session. I'm just going to name some of them. Here's what other projects have had to do. The Science Museum, which is leaking and has damage to the building, couldn't wait, and so they've had to break their project up into Phase 1 and Phase 2. And as a result, the project cost goes up when you do that instead of seeing it as a single one. The Minnesota Security Hospital, Medelia Infrastructure as a result of the fire, the St. Cloud Prison, Camp Ripley Oil Train Derailment Response Training Center. All those railroad grade separations where there is danger to people using those intersections. We have someone here from Catholic Charities. Housing infrastructure bonds for those who don't have a safe place to sleep at night. That was in the bill. Anoka Metro Regional Treatment Center, Child and Adolescent Behavioral Health Services in Wilmer, a strong project that the governor desperately wants. That isn't being brought forward. Lanesboro Dam Repair, the St. Louis River Cleanup, that's going to, I think, 65% federal matching dollars for that. Asset preservation across the state. Every single one of them would make the same argument that we're hearing today. We can't wait. We don't want to lose a construction season. I wish this room were packed because every one of you will lose a construction season. Everyone will make the same arguments that Lewis and Clark makes. But that voice has to get louder. It really has to get louder. Not to wait till the last minute, because if you wait till the last minute, we know what happens. So I know, Mr. Chair, I know last year Representative Torkelson would have desperately wanted a bill passed. He would have preferred that in special session. I know you would. But our conversation has to be, I think, at to leadership to say you don't have to do it that way. You don't have to wait till the last minute. So for every one of those projects that would make the same argument that we're hearing today, I just hope our voice gets louder to say, no, don't wait till May. We don't want to lose this construction season. And everyone deserves that kind of consideration.
Thank you, Representative Hausman. You raised some very good points that I would not argue with. I don't want to do a bill at the end of May either. I've done legacy bills at the end of May, and that's no fun either. But let's hope that the process regarding capital investment can be such that we aren't doing that this time. Further discussion on the bill before us.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Chair, I would like to have Deputy Commissioner Matt Woolman give, as I said, the what this is. I think this will help answer, Representative, some of your questions. Maybe not completely, but at least put a little bit of context of why we are meeting on a Monday morning. Mr. Woolman is going to go into discussion of what exactly the RFA bill is. So at this time, if he could do that.
Mr. Chair.
Welcome, Mr. Woolman.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to join you here this morning. I'm Matt Woolman. I serve as Deputy Commissioner of Agriculture in Minnesota. As Representative Miller mentioned, the RFA was created in 1986, came out of the farm crisis in 1986, and for the last 30 years has been a key part of providing credit to farmers in rural Minnesota. So we partner with over 400 banks across Minnesota. It is user financed. We work through the local bank to provide low-cost credit to Minnesota farmers. Some of our unique areas that we work in are providing loans to beginning and seller-assisted programs, so beginning farmers and those who are looking to transition their farm to beginning farmers. We also have the Ag Improvement Program, so providing improvements to add value to crops and livestock, et cetera, on Minnesota farms. The Livestock Expansion Program, providing opportunities to upgrade infrastructure again. And I think one of the most important and one of the time-sensitive ones is providing restructure loan opportunities to farmers. So right now we're facing a downturn in the economy, and many farmers are struggling to make their cash flow worksheets work. And this restructure loan can provide some real opportunities to help keep families on their farms. So the RFA has a strong record of success over this 30-year time frame. We've administered a little over 2,800 loans for $215 million. As those loans get paid back, they pay back the obligation on the bonds. Currently today we have 417 active files totaling $50.8 million. As I said, this is user finance, so as the bonds get paid back, we pay back the bonds and the interest on those bonds. Since 1986, we've taken losses on 20 files, 20 loan documents, and it's 0.007% is the loss that we've had on those files. It's the envy of any bank out there. So we've been very proud of our success over the years. This is an important program, and I urge your support of the program.
Thank you, Mr. Woolman. Any questions or comments? Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I don't have a question for Mr. Woolman, but I do appreciate the urgency of this, and it is something that I'm glad that it's moving forward in the process, but I also do recognize Representative Hausman's comments, because there are many urgent issues and many people throughout the state that could come forward and say this is something they'd like to see, but I think that it's important for us to do this one bill, and hopefully we don't do a number of single bills, but that we do this bill and move this along, and certainly, you know, Representative Hansen raises some other issues that we can also further address, but I appreciate today that we're moving this one forward. Thank you.
Other comments or questions? Representative Gunther.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hausman, the Senate did something kind of unique. They introduced last year's binding bill intact, but no add-ons, no anything else. You author that, I'll co-author it.
We'll think about that. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Gunther, if we send this bill over there, they can tack that on it and send it back over, right? Is that correct, staff, that they could tack the bonding bill because it would be germane?
I think this bill has wheels.
And so, Mr. Chair, I want to go back to the actual content of the bill for a moment. And Commissioner Woolman, so we're living in a very disruptive time. Very unique circumstances. Every day, things seem to be changing. And with withdrawal from TPP, with challenges with our neighbor to the south, I think this is why it's important to get that operating loans out to people, but I'm concerned that we may have mountains of grain on the ground if China doesn't buy our crops or our meat, if Mexico doesn't buy our crops, if the renewable fuel standard is thrown out. We're in a very challenging time. So what is there a tool where if folks are getting the loans, let's just remind the committee on how long they have to pay back and what happens if we have very unforeseen circumstances, which we seem to have every day with the Trump administration.
Mr. Wellman.
Mr. Chair, if I may, Mac McDevitt is our supervisor of our RFA program. He can talk about the terms. We are watching the trade situation very closely, and Canada and Mexico are both important trade partners for Minnesota Ag products, accounting for a huge amount of exports. But in terms of the terms on the loans and the flexibility of that, if I may, Mr. Chair, I'll defer to Matt.
Welcome to the committee. Identify yourself for the record, please.
Morning, Mr. Chair, representatives. Excuse me. My name is Matt McDevitt. I'm a loan supervisor for the RFA. Representative, in answer to your question, the way the loans are set up now is the farmer works with the bank to determine an appropriate amortization schedule. They can go up to 30 years, but our loans do balloon at 10.
President Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and that's, I think, helpful for the committee. Commissioner Woolman, could you provide maybe members of the committee with how much trade we have with the seven countries where the visas were impacted over the weekend?
Commissioner Woolman.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, I was just coming up. I didn't hear the full question. Can you repeat that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner Woolman. If you could provide it, not off the top of your head, but just how much trade we have with the seven countries where the visas were impacted over the weekend.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Mr. Woolman,
members of the committee, Representative Hansen, in general, Minnesota ag exports account for $6.3 billion. Mexico accounts for about 13% of those exports, Canada around 16%, and China is around 18%. I would note that Mexico is one of our fastest growing agricultural markets that we've been focusing a lot of attention on. From 2005 to 2015, we saw an 88% increase in ag exports to Mexico.
Thank you. Representative Oakland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to return the conversation a little bit back to what Representative Hausman said and Representative Gunther said, and indeed the Chair said. It would be nice for a change to break out of the mold. I think we did that last week when we passed the health care bill, and I think there's many, many reasons for us to move forward a bonding bill, and I think the Senate showed a lot of foresight to do what they did. We can count the reasons, whether it be rural, whether it be metro, whether it be the Iron Range or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, all of these projects are going to go up in price. We know interest rates are going up. We know steel prices are going up. It's just, from a business standpoint, it's the right thing to do to move forward. And I just hope that both caucuses and the governor and our leadership can work together to get something done sooner rather than later. We're behind. We have the financial wherewithal and monies to do this. And there's absolutely no reason why it has to be business as usual, the chaos at the end of the session. We can do this in a very workmanlike, reasonable manner and move forward. And I would urge all of us to consider that and work with our leadership to move forward in the bonding bill as soon as possible.
Thank you, Representative Boogle. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just want to point out in terms of this end of the session, those of us from my caucus on Ways and Means throughout basically the entire session, once we began to adopt the budget resolution, continued to say we needed to set aside money for debt service for the bonding bill. And we were continually told no, and those of you that are on this committee from the other side of the aisle know that we raised that. I did personally virtually any time the budget resolution was before us. So I hope that I'm hearing from the other side of the aisle correctly that you've changed your viewpoint from last year. The other thing, I was going to ask you a question, Mr. Chairman. When you said this bill has wheels, what did you mean by that? Should we be prepared for future action on bonding relative to this bill, or do you see it passing into law as a clean bill?
This bill?
Well, you said you thought the bill had wheels, and I'm not sure what you meant by that. I'm not sure what we should be prepared for. I assume that that was at the point when you were discussing, Mr. Chairman, the bill going over to the Senate and what could happen, and you said, well, this bill has wheels. So is there something we should anticipate as House members in both caucuses, or at least the minority caucus?
Well, Representative Carlson, of course, wheels means vehicle.
That's the term I generally used when I chaired Ways and Means. Yeah.
But I do not have any direction or knowledge that it is the plan of the Senate to use this bill as a vehicle. I mean, my belief and my intent is that this is a standalone bill and will not have anything added to it when it comes back from the Senate. But, you know, we all have to be flexible. Things can happen that we don't think are going to happen. I would hope that they don't at this point.
Yeah, I was just picking up, Mr. Chairman, on the phrase wheels and wanted to know if you had any...
I didn't think anybody got it.
Well, I listen carefully to what you say, Mr. Chairman, and don't want to read too much into it, but sometimes it's helpful to read something into a comment. Because
did you
later
teach seventh graders at one time or what?
Seventh graders?
Yeah.
I taught mainly seniors, but there were 2 years where I had some seventh graders, yeah.
See,
yeah. Was that your career?
Yeah, and that's my humor, too. So. All right, let's...
Seniors don't have as
much. Move along. Where are we up, Doc?
A comment on this discussion that we're having, and then also I do have a question for the current bill that we're considering. The comment is, I come from a district that is about a man for man, woman for woman, split down the middle. And I cannot tell you how, in any stronger words, and being a fairly simple person, it'll be simple words, the public thinks it is buffoonery to avoid the opportunity to get these past discussions forward. I cannot make it any stronger than that, because it is universal across all political leanings that the public thinks you have something that was done, and it is bills that, or it is projects that we can do, and you're wasting that opportunity from their frame of reference. So I think anything that can be done and or leaning where you can lean into this and get it done, the public will view it as a complete success and probably a model of a new day. So I really want you to all be encouraged by the fact that that's available to us. The question would be, and this goes to my absolute naivety, so you're talking to somebody that may not get it, but I don't know, does this bill that's being amended or changed or authorized to add money, does it restrict agricultural product and or operation that might be used as the basis for applying for a loan? So like if I'm a apple grower or if I'm a beekeeper, are they either in some way by process or history or whatever restricted from being able to apply for a loan under this program?
Somebody from the witness table? Anybody?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'll have Matt talk about the eligibility of our folks under the program. Thank you. Good question.
Mr. Speaker, Representative, as far as the eligibility...
Identify yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Matt McDevitt, Loan Supervisor, RFA. Mr. Speaker, Representative, eligibilities are spelled out within the law in the specific programs. Generally speaking, however, almost all farming activities that you would consider farming activities are eligible. There are certain things such as, you know, some of the amendments that were brought up today that aren't specifically spoken to that might need to be added due to kind of changing times and things, but generally speaking, your apple growers and things of that nature are all can apply for certain loans, depending on what they're trying to do.
Just a follow-up to that, just so I really do understand it. So is something considered implicit or explicit by the fact that it isn't listed?
Generally speaking, it would be more implicit that things are applicable.
Okay.
We try to be inclusive, and if it kind of makes sense that it would fall under there, there's some new vegetable that maybe, you know, has never really been grown in Minnesota right before, and hey, I want to grow, you know, this, that, or whatever, then it's fine.
Okay. Thank you. That's very helpful. Then one final thing.
Thank you.
Get off of this completely.
Representative Stock.
So could it be that with a little bit of either marketing or knowledge to the consuming farmers, that with that people may be able to actually facilitate the desire to get support and funding through the loan program, even though they are not explicitly listed as a covered crop or farm type?
Mr. Speaker, Representative, yes, that is the case. We can definitely market that. It that type of, you know, broad range of things sometimes gets marketed a little bit more in our microloan program, where growing some of the, you know, different vegetables is more prevalent.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Any other questions? I sense that we are...
Mr. Speaker, I do have one more testifier.
Well, then, just bring him up here, Representative Miller.
I appreciate it, Mr. Chair. This would be Carol Anderson. Carol's an RFA board member and farmer, and I think we'll go to how the program has fared over the years.
Thank you. We are eagerly awaiting your brief remarks.
It will be very brief.
And please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Carol Anderson. I'm a board member of the RFA. I'm also a dairy farmer with my husband, Steve, in Benton County. I'm also the economic developer in Morrison County, and I'm chair of the workforce board in Region 2. So I bring a unique perspective here. And I really strongly urge you to support this bonding issue. It's a very good program because it works with the banks, but when you see what's happening now with the banks and their regulators, it's going to be more difficult for them to make loans, and in particular to newer farmers, farmers that need to get their operating loans because of their bank examiners. So they need a partner, and the RFA is a wonderful partner with them. I'm also concerned that we're starting to see the unemployment rate starting to rise in rural Minnesota. It went from 4.7 in November to 7.2 in December in Morrison County. And when I looked, this is data from Deed, everything ticked up about 2%. So I think it's going to be more difficult for farmers, which then drives the other rural manufacturing economy, if we don't have this program and to have it now soon before the growing season starts because of the low commodities. So I would really hope that you would support this.
Thank you. Any questions? I'm sensing that we are about ready to vote. However, if there's anyone in the gallery who would like to make any comments, now is the time. Anyone from the public who wishes to make a comment? Well, seeing none, I'll just let Representative Miller sum it up.
Mr. Chair, I will be brief. I think you've heard everything I asked for. I asked for the committee's support, and I thank you for having this heard this morning.
Thank you, Representative Miller. Will you
move
the motion again as amended?
Motion that we refer this to Ways and Means.
We refer it as amended.
As amended, yes, sir.
Thank you, Representative Miller. And before we vote, I'll just say one more time. It's not my intent to have a whole series of bonding bills that we pass as standalones. I do think that this has some unique factors, and that's why we're doing this one. I don't want this to be a customary procedure for this committee. Any other comments? Otherwise, we will go to a vote. Those in favor of House File 14, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the bill carries. Thank you, Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Seeing no other business before the committee, as Sergeant Preston said to King, this case is closed.